Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This evening I'd like to speak with you about bitterness. The Lord God says in His Word that bitterness is a sin. And that it is, well, it is worldly. And that there are many, in fact, who will lose their soul because of bitterness. Paul has said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness is something that if we do not eliminate it from our lives, it can consume us. I've entitled this lesson, The Root of Bitterness. But of course, that idea, that concept is not new with me. In fact, I've asked for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We find that the Lord God talks about the root of bitterness. I've been working at the house of trying to eliminate certain plants that have just overgrown in the yard. I've been dealing especially with wisteria. And I know many of you have dealt with wisteria and know that it is pervasive and that it is difficult to get rid of. And I tell you, you can cut it off at the ground and you can pull it all out, pull it from your trees and from the ground. But if you don't get that root, it's just going to continue to come back. It is going to continue to be a problem. Now, wisteria is trivial compared to what the Lord God says we ought to eliminate from our hearts. I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's notice verse 14 beginning, in which the Lord God says that we are to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so already in this text, we see how important it is that we find peace, that we pursue that peace, and that we pursue this holiness with all people. Because we desire to see the Lord. And he says further that we are to look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. How many times have we been going along in life seeming to do okay, and yet there is bitterness in our hearts that springs up, something that we have not taken care of in our lives, something that we have allowed to remain dormant seemingly for a while, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves just in a mess of trouble. All because we have harbored bitterness in our hearts. If we allow that, brethren, to continue, then we ourselves can become defiled. That's what the Holy Spirit has said. If we become defiled, then we will not see the Lord. And so it is absolutely vital that we pursue peace with all people, that we pursue holiness with God, that we eliminate this root of bitterness from our hearts. Now, bitterness is one of those sins that at first is easier to see in someone else. We can see it in someone's words, and we can see it in their expressions, and we can see it in their actions, sometimes quite easily. But in ourselves, it's not till after the dust has settled, after we've been embroiled in the trouble, and after we have reinforced that bitterness, that sometimes we realize, I have something wrong within me. I would encourage each of you tonight, as we think about the root of bitterness, not to let our minds wander to someone else and say, I sure wish they could be here to hear this, or I sure hope he or she is listening because they really need this. Let this sermon, because it is from the Word of God, be something that we each listen to and that we each apply in our lives, because if we allow the root of bitterness, we will be defiled and we will not see the Lord. So I need this sermon, and I'm persuaded that each of us needs to hear it as well. And I'd like for you to consider that sin can be a cause for this root to spring up in our lives. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we have the account of Cain and Abel. And we see here the account of Cain and Abel and how there is a progression from sin that then brings about, if it's not arrested, it will bring about a root of bitterness. In Genesis chapter 4, we want to begin in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up and against Abel his brother and killed him. We see here that Cain gave an offering that was rejected by God. And we are told in the Hebrews text that it was an offering without faith. And of course, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we are told in Romans chapter 10. And so what Cain did was to disregard the instruction of God and to offer something that was not pleasing. Now, in contrast, you have Abel. Abel, on the other hand, offered that which was by faith. And he, in fact, was pleasing by God. Now, when God rejected the offering of Cain, Cain went and complicated the matter. Now, it was not the Lord that made this difficult. Cain went and complicated his circumstance because, well, he responded wrongly. He became angry and depressed. The Scripture says, his countenance fell. His face fell. Now, what was going on inside the man, we might not know, except that the Holy Spirit tells us and warns us that God knew about this man's anger. And in fact, what we see is that the Lord, he stopped the man at the intersection of anger and righteousness, sin and righteousness, and said, look, you have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Where you go from here is up to you. God tried to offer him help. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Cain, you can be accepted. Do well. But then God also warned him that failure to repent and offer the right kind of sacrifice is going to cause you to go further into sin. Using figurative language, God uses that idea, that imagery of a wild animal that desires to pounce and to devour Cain. And at this point, understand that while Cain has offered an unacceptable sacrifice, it's not too late. He could totally repent. He could turn this around. And he could do what is right in the sight of God and by all accounts. He could break the cycle of sin, stop the rule of sin over his heart, and he could repent. However, Cain did not recognize that there was, in fact, bitterness in his heart. He just saw the blinding rage and anger that he allowed to remain. He failed to listen to what God warned him about. He did not listen to the good instruction to do well and be accepted. And he just fell deeper into sin just as God said he could. The bitterness that he allowed to remain in his heart led him to commit another sin, to compound his problems. And this sin even greater in its consequence, that is the murder of his own brother, the first murder known to mankind. And then further, that bitterness continued to bear fruit because he denied responsibility. He just ignored his own guilt. And when God confronted the man about his guilt, he just said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Trying to deflect the whole situation and circumstance from himself. You know, nothing really has changed. Certainly a lot has changed, but the heart of man and of woman works fundamentally the same as it did then. I encourage you to turn to Proverbs chapter 26 and consider that sin always follows the very same pattern that we saw in Genesis chapter 4. Sin can lead to guilt, as it should. But if guilt is not dealt with in a godly way, if we do not repent of our sin, then there will be bitterness. And if bitterness is not dealt with, it always leads to greater guilt and deeper bitterness. In Proverbs 26 and verse 23, the wise man says, "Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered up with silver dross." You get that imagery of something that is pottery, but then it's covered with silver? It looks good to the eye. It looks perhaps even pure, and yet there is something very fragile within. And he says further, "He who hates disguises it with his lips, and he lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly." This text describes people who bear grudges, resentments, bitterness in their hearts. Sometimes they're able to cover it up for a little while. They hide it within and put on a good front. Maybe seem to be very respectable. Maybe very gracious. And yet, inwardly, a person can be full of this hatred. And it can just fester and grow and mature and bring forth fruit. And the wise man says that any and all anger, hatred, resentment, bitterness that are bottled up, they bring about other problems in life. He said there are seven abominations that go along with it. But notice the passage concludes with a warning that even though it can be covered for a little while, it will eventually be known to the whole assembly. It happened to Cain. He thought he could manage it. He thought he could handle it. But he couldn't because he allowed it. And if it happened to him, it can happen to me. And it can happen to you if we don't stop it. Sin can cause the root of bitterness to spring up. Pride can also cause bitterness. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Here is an account of a man named Naaman. We studied about Naaman not too long ago. We won't really rehearse most of his story, but he was a powerful man. He was a commander in the Assyrian army. He was a Gentile. But he was also a man who suffered with leprosy, a very dreaded disease that eventually would eat away at the person, causing them to not have a very pleasant life and ultimately die from that disease. But by the mercy of his servant, he found out that there is a man of God who has the ability to heal. And so Naaman sought that healing. He went out of his way to go to the man of God, Elisha, and to seek out that which could make him free from this disease of leprosy. Now the prophet of God gave him instructions as to what he could do so that he might be free from that dreaded and hateful disease. Verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 5, Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Isn't that amazing? To think that this man has been dealing with this disease for so long, and that the Lord's servant tells him it can be all gone. It can be washed away. It is just as simple as that. But you'll notice in the text it says, "But Naaman became furious. And he went away and he said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy.'" Why would he get mad? What would possibly go through that man's mind that caused him to be in such a rage? Here he was given an opportunity to be free from that leprosy, to be healed. It seems that it was rather localized in its scope on his body, and yet it would spread if he doesn't arrest it now. And he has the chance, but he goes into a rage. He refused the prophet's instruction and became bitter because of his pride. He just couldn't see submitting himself to such a humiliating act. Dip 7 times in the River Jordan. You'll notice there is that root of the problem. I said to myself, "Behold, I thought," some versions say. Instead of being humble and accepting the instruction of God's servant, the man was dictating to God what he thought should happen. Now, how far had that gotten him in the past? Had his own thinking been able to remedy his sickness? Absolutely not. And that's why he went out and sought out the man of God. He wanted what he wanted so badly that when he was given the opportunity, well, he didn't jump at it. He didn't accept it. And so he would not be cleansed from his leprosy. Now, how many today recognize that they need salvation from sin, but rather refuse to listen and obey God's will because, well, I thought it should be this way. I thought it should be that way. I want to do it my way. How many want and need salvation from Jesus but refuse to listen to His instruction regarding baptism? How many want and need their families to hear and heed the gospel but aren't willing to do the right thing and the tough thing to help them? How many people want their family to obey the gospel but they themselves are walking disorderly? How many want and need the guidance from God's Word that He offers but won't take the time to read, to meditate and apply His Word? How many have a root of bitterness and rage because they've got a dialogue going on in their hearts that said, "Behold, I thought this." Naaman, I don't have any doubt that when he flew off in a rage, thought he was totally justified in thinking, "I should go somewhere else. I thought he should come out and do something magnificent, and all he did was to tell me to go out and wash myself in the River Jordan." But you know, he might have been justified or felt justified himself, but he was wrong. And he was still in his leprosy. And until he submitted his will to God's will, he allowed that bitterness to rule him. And that rage, that kept him from receiving what God so freely offered him. Now see, bitterness seems so obvious in his life. Why is it that we sometimes don't recognize it in our own hearts? And certainly, there are other examples in scriptures of what can cause root of bitterness. We've only covered 2. Sin and pride. I think those are perhaps those problems which cause the most bitterness in people's hearts. But we could talk about being wronged by others. What about Joshua? It seems that for a while he was wronged by just about everyone. And yet he did not allow that to cause any root of bitterness to enter into and to bear fruit in his life. You might think about the loss of a loved one. Mary and Martha, they lost their brother. And when they were confronted by the Lord, you can see them and their sadness, their sorrow, but they did not allow that bitterness to prevent them from acknowledging the truth of Jesus Christ and even of leaning upon Him. We might think about injury or illness and how that can cause some to allow a root of bitterness in their hearts. We might think about Paul and how he was persecuted by his own countrymen. He even suffered physically as he received that thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was in particular, but we know it bothered him terribly. And yet, he didn't allow those things to cause him bitterness. We might think about persecution. We could think about Stephen and how he, to the very end, remained free from that bitterness against those who persecuted him. And then certainly the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had been wronged. He had suffered loss. He had been injured. He had been persecuted. And yet not once did he allow bitterness to enter into his heart. And therefore he avoided that sin which so easily besets us. And our list could go on and on about how we come about this root of bitterness. But how do we overcome it? How do we uproot bitterness? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look to the Scripture for four basic and very simple activities that will help us make sure that bitterness does not take root in our lives, in our hearts. And if we have bitterness, this will help us to eliminate it. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The first thing I'd like to suggest to you is that we pursue peace. Now, we mentioned this at the very beginning of our lesson, but let's be a people who are peacemakers. Notice in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Hold your place here, but look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Notice what the Lord has said during His Sermon on the Mount, one of many things. He says in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." He doesn't just say peacekeepers, He said peacemakers. Now that requires that we be a people who pursue, who engage, who actively even go out of our way to try to be at peace with others, and even to make peace between others. You see, these are qualities that typify or describe the citizen of God's kingdom. And He says, be peacemakers. That means we have to control our temper. We have to control our tongue. We have to not hold grudges and not allow the opinions or attitudes of others negatively impact, impinge, or change our hearts. Don't allow a root of bitterness within yourself because of someone else. In fact, help them. Be a peacemaker. We are to pursue holiness. We ought to make sure that we are drawing nearer to God, and the devil will be sure to flee from us. We must be a people who don't give opportunity to the devil, but rather instead, we should be sanctifying the Lord Christ in our hearts, pursuing holiness, because He is holy, we should be holy as well. Holiness, peace, these will help us to uproot and to make sure we don't give room for the bitter root. Further, we should have self-examination regularly. Look carefully at yourself. I'll look carefully at myself. Live by faith to successfully stand in God's grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, brethren, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and in which we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have to examine ourselves. If Cain had taken the time to consider that there is within me a root of bitterness, that if I don't stop it, it will produce sin further, he could have stopped it. But he didn't examine himself. He didn't listen to what the Lord God commanded him to examine himself. He just went on about life, talking with his brother out in the field one day, and he rose up and he killed him. Pursue peace. Pursue holiness. Examine yourself. And then make a decision. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. Already in Hebrews we've seen that we are to pursue peace, to pursue holiness. That requires a decision. That's not going to happen by accident. You can't be at peace with God and with your fellow man. You can't be a peacemaker by accident. You cannot be holy by accident. You don't just accidentally do the right thing and all of a sudden you're just righteous, holy, without blame. You have to do those things which God prescribes in His Word. And of course, we've talked about that at great length. But consider there is an example of instruction in Scripture that tells us that this bitterness is a matter of choice. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. The Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, says, "Husbands, love your wives." There's a command to love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. It's a decision that we have to make. And while this instruction is applicable to husbands towards our wives, I would suggest that that is just as true regarding our hearts and others as in this case. Don't be bitter. Choose to do the right thing. It's a sinful way of viewing life. It is described sometimes as having a chip on your shoulder. It's described as having a grudge. Or perhaps we even justify it as saying, well, he did this to me or she did that to me. Turnabouts, fair play. No, it's not. That's sinful thinking. That's the world's thinking. Bitterness is a choice that always leads to the mistreatment of God, a disregard for His will, and the mistreatment of others who are created in the image of God. Bitterness that is allowed to take root in your life or in mine will always bring about sin. And if we're not careful, it will. We must not let any circumstance lead us to bitterness. And if and when a circumstance does, because we've allowed it, uproot it, don't just cut it off and cut off the fruit. Take up the root. Get rid of the root. When you do that, you'll be free of that bitterness. We must not let sin continue in our lives. For the Lord God has said in His Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Purity of heart requires that we be free from that root of bitterness. If you're here this evening and your life is not as it should be, whether it's because you have not obeyed the gospel initially through response to the gospel by making the good confession, repenting of your sin, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, or as a child of God, you've made the commitment in times past but have not lived up to that commitment, then you have the opportunity tonight to make your life right according to the will of God. But if there's anyone here tonight whose life is in trouble because you've allowed a root of bitterness to take hold, and you know that it's maturing or will mature if you don't deal with it, deal with it. Deal with it tonight. And if we can help you to do that, whether it's through confession of sin or through the prayers that we can offer on your behalf, we encourage you to do the right thing tonight while you can. Won't you come while we stand and sing?